You to hear some things about hope. Tell me some things about hope. Those of you that were here last time, if you have anything, tell me some things about hope. It's what? It's expectation. All right? It's, you got to hold fast to your expectation. All right? You know, the devil would like to steal it from you. Bible says that when the word is sown, Satan immediately comes and try to steal that word that's sown. And let me just go with me to the book of Romans, chapter 4. And we're going to go there. We'll start with verse 17. And we'll read through verse 21. Romans 4, 17 through 21. The Bible says this, as it is written, I have made you a father of many nations before him whom he believed. And God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was what? Spoken. So shall your seed be, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded. Once you're fully persuaded, you don't stop that. Amen? It didn't say he was fully persuaded on Monday. It said being fully persuaded. What was he persuaded? That God, what he was persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And that phrase, hoped against hope, you might say it like this. He was clinging to the mere possibility. Abraham didn't have any other evidence that he was going to be a father of many nations other than what God said. His body was saying something different. Sarah's body was saying something different. The world was saying something different. And all he had to cling to was the mere possibility. But how many know if you hold on to the possibility, it's going to be possible? How many things are possible to them that believe? All things. Okay? So let's review a little bit about what hope is. It's confident expectation. Say, I'm confident. It's optimism. It's anticipation. You know, like a dog. When you're ready to feed a dog, what do? They you know, when they get really excited, they're anticipating. We got to be excited. Amen? We have to have courage. It's a possibility. There's potential. You have to have a desire with expectation of obtainment. Say, I'm a possessor. You know, God gave Israel land, but they had to possess it. They had to defeat giants. They had to defeat enemies. They had to go in and possess it, even though God gave it to them. You know, the enemies just didn't say, here's the title deed. They had to go in. Some of them, sometimes they had to fight. How many know you got to fight for what's right? There are some things that's worth the fight. Amen? Genuine hope is a firm assurance about things that are unseen and still in the future. Hope is a combination of confidence, waiting, and a favorable outcome. Say a favorable outcome. You don't have to know how it's going to work out. You just know that it is. And you just rest in that. Just ask Job. Job was expecting a favorable outcome. And Job had to go through some things. He lost his family. He lost his health. He lost his wealth. But you know what? He didn't lose his expectation. And what happened? Eventually, God turned things around. See, if you don't give hope, if you don't... Listen, the enemy will try to make you an offer to give up your hope. But don't choose behind door number one or door number two or door number three. You stick with hope. Okay? So you get what hope is. Hold firm to your confidence. It's standing in the grace that you've gained, access by faith. Hope is being diligent to the end, so that what you expect may be fully realized. Hope doesn't quit halfway through. Hope doesn't quit three quarters of the way through. Hope quits when it crosses the finish line. Amen? Hope is drawing near to God. Your hope should be in God. Don't hope in the stock market. It's going to change. Don't hope in your neighbor. They may let you down. Hope in God. He'll never let you down. He's faithful. He's good all the time. He'll carry you through the hard times. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now, there are certain attitudes that a person who has hope has to have. Say, hope's got an attitude. Well, let's look and see what kind of attitude hope has. Okay? Go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Let's read 9 through 12. Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 12. Let love be without dissimulation or hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil. Say, abhor the evil. Cleave to that which is good. Say, cleave to good. You're supposed to not like evil. You're supposed to abhor it. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. That's how we're to live. If someone's not doing that, they're not in love. They're in something else. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now look at the attitude in verse 12. Rejoicing in what? Patient in what? Continuing in what? So the attitude of hope is someone who rejoices, who's patient, and who continues to pray no matter what. So, one of the attitudes that hope has, it's rejoices. Give me an example of rejoicing. There you go. Amen. You know, everybody was telling Job, his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? Why don't you quit? Why don't you give up? No, I'm going to rejoice. And if you need help, go to Philippians. It says, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice if you didn't hear me the first time. So, this is an attitude that hope has. Go to Psalm 25, verse 3. What kind of attitude does hope have? Psalm 25, verse 3. Yea, let none that wait on you be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. So we see here Let's back up to verse 1. Unto you, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. So who's he focusing on? Okay? He said, oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me. But you got to trust. If you don't want your enemies to triumph over you, you got to trust in God. Yea, let none that wait on you be ashamed. Listen, you're not going to be ashamed if you wait on God. Go to Proverbs 10:28 for a minute. Proverbs 10:28. There was another translation. It says that my hope is in you all day long. Everybody say all day long. So another attitude of hope is that hope is in it for the long haul. Okay? You can't get up tomorrow and say, oh, I just feel like giving up hope. No, hope continues. Proverbs 10:28 says, the hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall perish. Go to Psalm 71, verse 14. Psalm 71, verse 14. Read that verse. I will hope, how long? And will yet praise you, how? That means the harder something gets, the more you ought to praise. But some people couldn't praise their way out of a paper bag. Because they get into something else that's not praise. What happened in the wilderness? God brought them out. But they complained, they murmured, and they grumbled. There was only a couple of them that were praising more and more. You know, an attitude of hope is, you know, someone said it like this one time. If the devil gets loud, you get louder. The devil should not overshadow you. You should overshadow him. And another one of my friends said, never give the devil a microphone. All right? Don't let the devil's... What kind of words come out of the devil's mouth? Lies. Deception. Accusations. Why do you think when Jesus came across devils, he would say, hold your peace? He said, I ain't got time to listen to the devil. The devil's got nothing to say. So don't let him say anything. You do the talking. But I like that. It said, I will hope continually, yet, and I will yet praise you more and more. Peter and Paul and Silas did this when they were in Philippi. They began to praise God more and more. In the darkest hour, in the hardest time, in the most restricted conditions. How did they get there? They got a woman delivered. And as a result, they were put in the inner part of the prison, in chains. They were being treated like they murdered someone. Now, I guarantee you, they had been beaten, physically beaten. I guarantee you, if you ask them, they didn't feel like praising God. But they did it anyway. And what happened? Their hope manifested. How did their hope manifest? Chains and prisons were open, not only for them, but for every prisoner. So that's the attitude that we got to have in hope. Continually. Say, I'm in it for the long haul. All right. Go to Romans 15, verse 13. What are we talking about? We're talking about attitudes of hope. Have an attitude of gratitude. Sometimes you need an attitude of solitude. Romans 15, And look at verse 13. Now the God of who? Fill you with what? All joy and peace in believing that you may what? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Wow! See, your power to hold on to hope is not yours. It's the greater one working on the inside, causing you to do what seems physically impossible to do. When you're at your wit's end, when you're ready to give up, when you're on your last nerve, the God of hope will then fill you with joy. See, because your joy is not based on your situation. Your joy doesn't come from your circumstances. Your joy certainly doesn't come from people. It comes from God. And the God of hope will fill you with joy. He will flood your soul with joy from heaven. He will flood your soul with ecstasy of and peace, joy and peace. Believing. How many believe that you have joy and peace? What kind of peace does God give you? It's a peace that passes understanding. And that peace really is designed to keep your mind and your heart focused on God. Because how many know that this is the problem area? If your mind and your heart aren't connecting, you're going to have problems. If your mind and your heart are disagreeing with one another, you're going to have problems. You can't have, if your mind and your heart are in disagreement, faith doesn't work. So the God of hope fill you with all joy. His joy. Jesus told his disciples, my joy will remain in you and your joy will be full. He told them in John 16. And you're going to abound in hope. In other words, you're going through a tough time. You're going through a challenge. And all of a sudden, the God of peace, or the God of hope, comes, and he fills you. Like a cream puff that's overflowing. Like a jelly donut. When you bite of it, you know, when you bite of it, it's got so much jelly, it leaks down your chin. All right? And all of a sudden now, you've got joy and peace. It strengthens your faith. And now all of a sudden, expectation, confidence, optimism is abounding in you. It's exploding in you. It's getting bigger and bigger. It's like the fireworks. When you see that thing float over there, then it explodes and it blossoms out like this. So something's shooting up from the inside. It's going poof, and it's blossoming. And you're getting optimism. You're getting expectation. Your excitement is building. How many know when Daniel, when he came across the writing that said Israel's going to be released in 70 years, he began to pray for that to happen. He began to expect their release to come. So what did he do? He started hooking in with it. And he began to pray. And guess what? God fulfilled his word. You know, God just needs someone here on earth to hook up with. He just needs someone here on earth to speak his word. He just needs someone here on earth to stand up for what's right. He needs someone here on earth to fight the good fight of faith. He needs someone here on earth to shut the devil up. I love that verse. Go to Galatians 5:5. Hope's got an attitude. What's another attitude of hope? Verse 5, Galatians 5:5. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by what? Another attitude of hope is it eagerly awaits. Now, if you're going to be a person of hope, you got to be a person of patience. Because hope means you wait, but there's an expectation while you're waiting. There's an excitement while you're waiting. You know it's going to come to pass. You know it's going to arrive. You know it's going to be yours. You already know that. So you're sitting here with this big grin on your face, and people are looking at you. They see your situation. And they're looking at you like, are you on something? You better believe I'm on something. I'm on JC and the HG, brother. You want some? I got some to give you. We, through the Spirit, wait, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Are you an eagerly waiter? Then you have the right attitude of hope. But are you quick to be impatient? Are you quick to complain about your circumstance if it doesn't turn out the way you think or the way you thought or in the time frame that you gave give God? Listen, God doesn't work on time. God's eternal. God works in the now. And the good thing about that is you can get in the now by faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Go to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Psalm 130 and verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait. And in His word do I what? So an attitude of hope is that your whole being is involved in the waiting process. Now, if you're waiting like this, your body is not hooked up with your spirit and your soul. What contains your soul? It's your mind, your will, and your emotions, right? He's saying, I wait with my soul. You got to put your whole being into waiting. And if your body is out of line, you got to correct it. Because you're not led by your body, you're led by your spirit. When you got born again, your spirit became in charge of your life, not your body. That means you listen to your body less and you listen to your spirit more. And you've got to make sure that you express the right posture that expresses what you're believing and what you're hoping. It's got to be in your posture. You have to let your body know that it needs to rest. Because your flesh will get impatient. How many know when you're hungry, what does your stomach do? It tells you. Your body talks to you. But we've got to keep our body. Paul said this. He said, I, the real him, keep my body under and bring it into subjection. Now, if you've got the joy of the Lord, your spirit's going to have to communicate that to your face. Amen? Because do you realize that we say more with our bodies than we do with our mouths? When there were little kids that were with everybody following Jesus, people weren't allowing the kids to come, but what did Jesus say? His body language said, come to me. And he blessed them. He touched all the kids. He blessed them. Why? God loves kids. And he's got more kids than anybody. So we have to, our whole body has to be involved in the process. I mean, quite frankly, if you're in faith, there ought to be evidence on your face. It doesn't look like, it looks like I need some fiber or something. Why? Because do you realize that with your, do you know that your body is an instrument? With your lips, you praise God. With your hands, lift up. He said, lift up holy hands. He said, with your hands, you can lay on the sick and they shall recover. He tells us what to think on with our mind. He tells us where to walk with our feet. So our body has to be in tune with our spirit. You know, Nelson's not going to play a guitar that's out of tune, right? And because when it's out of tune, you know it, right? It sounds off. When our bodies aren't in tune with our spirits, we haven't spent enough time meditating on hope, letting it get inside of us. I wait for the Lord, my soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. So when there's pressure from the enemy, all you have to tell the enemy is this. You don't have to say anything else. This is the evidence. This is the proof. This is the title guarantee. I'll give you an example. When Jesus was tempted, did he pull out a physical sword? Did he call upon the host of heaven? Did he bash the enemy with his shield? What did he do? He said, "It is written." That's all he needed to say, because the devil cannot go against God's word. You got to understand, he fasted for 40 days. You want to get your body in line? Fast. Now, and that doesn't mean quick. That means no food. Sometimes when our body's out of line, we've got to do that. Okay, moving right along. Go to Psalm 16, verse 9. We're talking about the attitude of hope. Hope has an attitude. Psalm 16, verse 9. Therefore, my heart is glad. Sadness is never associated with hope. And my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. You've got to treat your flesh like a little child. Your spirit is the adult. And where the adult goes, you say, okay, come along now. Come along, body. You're coming here. You're going to praise God. I don't feel like praising God. You're going to praise him anyway. Get those hands up. How many know you don't always feel like praying or praising God or reading the Bible? Come on. Let's be honest. You got to make your body do it. He said, my body will rest in hope. He talks about our heart being glad, our tongue rejoicing, and our body resting in hope. Isn't that awesome? That's the attitude of hope. Go to Hebrews 6:18. Oh, before you go to Hebrews, go to Psalm 31. We're going to go by way of Hebrews by Psalms. Okay? Psalm 31. This is a good one. I got to read this. Psalm 31, and it says, verse 4, Well, let's go to verse 3. For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net. That's talking about freeing you. That they have laid privately for me, for you are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. This all has to do with hope. You have redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversities, and have not shut me up or given me over into the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief, and my years with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones are consumed. And I don't know, there was a part there about, let me go back here. Verses 1 and 2, it says, in you, Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my strong rock. Okay? God wants you to, he wants you to make him your strong rock. God needs to be your strong rock. Okay? And as you make God your strong rock, there's something that you got to do. It's called take heart. And to take heart means to endure. It means to deal with. It means sometimes you got to put up with some things that are unpleasant or unavoidable, like the cross. How many know Jesus had to deal with the cross? But what did he say on the cross? He said, into your hands, I commit my spirit. How many know that while Jesus was on the cross, he was entirely trusting in God? What was his hope? He was hoping in a resurrection. He was able to endure the cross because he knew that there was a resurrection. When you know that there's something better on the other side, you can endure these little things, or these temporary things, I should say. Not necessarily little, but temporary. And you've got to take hold. You've got to, your strength is to hold up something. It's to be capable of supporting something, something without collapsing or breaking, and that's how God is your rock. He's not going to break under pressure. He's not going to weary in strength. He's not going to give up because he's a rock. But you've got to be rooted on the rock. Go to Hebrews 6:18 now. Hebrews 6:18. Are you picking up the attitude of hope? Hope isn't weak. Hope is strong. Hope is powerful. Okay? Hebrews 6:18 says that there are two immutable things or unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie. How many know that God doesn't lie? God can't lie. What he said and what he says is absolute truth. Okay? Now, that we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us. How many know God sets hope before you? But it is up to you to lay hold on it. It is up to you to activate it. It is up to you to believe in it, to receive it. You're going through a struggle. God comes on the scene and he puts hope before you. He puts life before you. I've set before you what? Life or death, the blessing and the curse. He said, I would that you choose life. It's there before you. All you got to do is grab it. All you got to do is hold on to it. You've got to take hold what's before you. And when you do, you'll be greatly encouraged. We all know the story of Jairus, right? His daughter was near death. But he was a man of hope. How did he get hope? He heard what Jesus did for others. And based on what he heard Jesus did for others, he knew that Jesus would do it for him too. So what did he do? He made his way to Jesus. Jesus was the hope that was set before him. What did he do? He got down on his knees. He honored the hope. He was saying, I'm resting in this hope. I'm clinging to this hope. You're the only hope that I have. I'm not mixing it with anything else. And so Jairus, he grabbed a hold of Jesus. And he said, my daughter is near death, but come and lay your hands on her. Now he's bringing hope to his heart. He's receiving, and what was God's response? He went with him. That tells me that what Jairus did was a faith move, a faith action. He puts all of his hope in God. I'm sure that he tried doctors, but we're not told in that story. Maybe this came upon his daughter suddenly, and he had no one else to turn to. But how many know God can meet the need? You don't need anyone else when you got God. So, what then? Hope? Oh, hope went with Jairus. Now Jairus is taking hope back to his house where his daughter was. He's bringing hope with him because he grabbed on hope. How many know once you grab on, you can't let go? He was resting in hope. He was resting in the knowledge that Jesus could heal her. He could make her well. He wasn't believing anything else. He knew that Jesus was the answer. He was fully persuaded. He was fully convinced. And now he's taking hope with him. And they get to the house. They had another issue to take care of. They're almost at the house. The servant said, don't trouble the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. Hope looks at Jairus, saying, are you going to hold on to me or are you going to let go? Jairus said, I'm holding on. He had to hold on to what he originally said. See, if you make your mind up to hold on to hope, you can't change your mind. So hope looks at Jairus, and he said, don't fear, only believe. See, fear is a temptation for you to cash in your hope. But when you cash in your hope for fear, you get nothing in return. And Jairus said, I'm holding on to hope. So hope said, okay, let's go. They get into the room. What does hope do? Hope touches her. Why? Because Jairus asked hope to touch her. He said, if you lay your hands on her, she shall live. And I'm using Jesus as hope because he is our hope. And how many know that hope was released in his daughter's body? Now, you got to be careful because when he brought hope in the room, they were making fun of his hope. All the people began to make fun of the hope that he was holding on to. So, listen, don't make fun of my hope, get out. If you can't appreciate my hope, shut up. Come on. Hope said, she's not dead. She's asleep. They laughed at him. But hope won in the end, because Jairus never let go of the hope that he had. His hope was that Jesus would touch her and she would live. That was his hope. He got the manifestation of the hope that he held on to. His daughter awoke, and she ministered to them. You see how powerful hope is? 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, see, hope is of the top three. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is what? Love. Can I tell you something about the top three? This is good. This is from McClintock Dictionary. Faith is the root, love is the fruit-bearing stem, and hope is the heaven-reaching down crown of the tree of the Christian life. Faith receives God's grace. Love animates and motivates the Christian life. Hope takes hold of the future as the Lord's. It affects your past, your present, and your future. Don't lose hope. Yes, love is greater than hope, but hope is necessary for love. Hope is joined to faith and love because hope is the assurance of life that dwells in us. These are McClintock's words, not mine. I wish they were mine, but they're really good. See, Christians have hope, not hopes. There's a difference. See, the Holy Spirit is the ground and support of your hope. He's like the saddle on the horse. He'll keep you on the horse as long as you're holding the reins. Amen? Christ is the object of our hope. Unbelievers are without hope because they're without God. Hope is the source of your patience in suffering. The reason you can be patient in suffering because you have hope. Can you imagine if Jesus was in the garden when they came to arrest him and said, come on, this isn't fair. This is not how this should be. God, what are you doing here? If he said that in the garden, he'd have never got out of the garden. But that's what we do, isn't it? When the devil turns up the heat, we want to compromise. We want to give in. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they knew the heat was going to be turned up. Listen, hot is hot. If there's fire, you're going to burn. I don't care how hot it is. Amen? It doesn't matter. The devil's so dumb. I'll turn it up seven times hotter. Listen, hot is hot, devil. I'm going to burn. You don't have to make it hotter. If it's fire, I'm going to burn. They had an opportunity to compromise, to give up hope. Okay. Class, when the music plays, I want everybody to bow to this golden statue of me, because I'm so handsome, I made it of me. All right, musicians, hit it. Okay, I need three people to stand up right now. Three people. Two, three. Okay, thanks. But when the music played, there were three people that were holding on to hope. What was their hope? That God would deliver them no matter what. That I could face anything. I could go through anything. And my God will see me through. And I don't care what you try to do to me. My God is a deliverer. That's my hope. Well, the king had a little bit of grace. Well, maybe he didn't hear me the first time. When the music plays, everybody is supposed to bow to this statue. You're supposed to compromise. He gave him an opportunity to quit. Music plays. Here they are again. They said, "Oh, Your Majesty, we are not careful to answer you. Our God, whom we trust, will deliver us. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter what you say. Doesn't matter how you act." They were holding on to hope. King called his guards. They bound them. They threw them in the furnace. The guards burned. The flames killed the guards. Okay, guys, you can sit down. See, when you hold on to hope, hope will join you in the fire. God is a very present help where? In trouble. They were thrown into the fire. But they had a dance party in the fire. Woo! There was a fourth man, because they wouldn't give up their hope. Hope joined them when they needed it the most. Hope strengthened them when they needed to be strengthened the most. And they got out because they didn't let go of their hope. They didn't even smell like smoke. You can't get around a fire and not smell like smoke. But these guys didn't even smell like smoke. See, when you realize, when you're confident in hope, you know the devil's just blowing smoke. And if the devil's blowing smoke, you won't even smell like it. But you got to be confident in hope. You got to hold on to it. It will hold you up, but you got to hold on to it. Let me give you a couple more here. Philippians chapter 1. Those two things are by the Spirit, because I had no intentions of talking about Jairus or the three men. So, whoever needed that, take it. See, you got to understand something about the devil. His tactics don't change. He tries to intimidate. He tries to cause you to be afraid, and he tries to put pressure. I don't care what the devil's preventing you from doing or trying to steal from you, he always uses fear, intimidation, and pressure. And if you give in to the pressure, then you've let go of your hope. If you give in to fear, you've let go of your hope. And if you let him intimidate you, you've given up your hope. Gideon faced an innumerable amount of men in the Midianites with 300. And who won? But see, the devil will try to make himself look big. But remember, he's a liar. He's just a Pillsbury doughboy. He's a big cream puff. When you realize that he doesn't have no... He can only roar like a lion. Doesn't say he bites you like a lion. That our adversary, the devil, who walks about as a roaring lion. Doesn't say a biting lion. Doesn't say a scratching lion. It says a roaring lion. All he can do is use his mouth. But if you're holding on to hope, you're not going to get into fear, you're not going to be intimidated, and you're going to go through the pressure. Because you're holding on to hope, because you know that there's a better end. David held on to hope when he faced Goliath. He knew that God would deliver him. I come at you with the name of the Lord. Right there, the devil was done. He could not intimidate devil. He couldn't intimidate David. He couldn't pressure David. And he couldn't make David fear. Philippians chapter 1. Verses 20 and 21. according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be what? Listen, the devil will try to shame you. But when you don't give up hope, you cannot be ashamed. If you hold on to hope, you're not going to regret holding on to hope. You won't regret it. You won't listen. Oh my goodness, God keeps giving me these examples. How come Moses could appear before Pharaoh, head of Egypt, and not one guard could lay a hand on him? He appeared before him at least 10 times. Surely, I've always asked this question. Why don't they get the most wanted people when they take their picture? Wouldn't that be the good time when you're taking their picture? Moses appeared before Pharaoh. He walked into the court, into the throne room. And he said, "Let my people go." But see, Moses trusted in hope. He had a hope that God is going to deliver his people, and God sent him there for that task. So, because Moses held on to hope, it didn't even enter into Pharaoh's mind to take him when he could have. Pharaoh could not capture Moses. He couldn't put him in handcuffs. He couldn't imprison him. Why? Because he was holding on to hope. And he could walk into Pharaoh's court confidently. Says, "Listen, let my people go. Let my people go." And every time it was worse, worse, and worse for Pharaoh. Listen, God will turn the table on your enemy, but you got to hold on to hope. Philippians. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness. What kind of attitude does hope have? It's bold. It's loud. Could you see Jesus or the apostles going up to a demon-possessed man? "Excuse me, but can you depart?" I don't think so. When you see a demon-possessed man, you say, "Come out in Jesus' name." And guess what? They have to. They have to obey that name. Let me just give you a quick testimony. I was in Atlanta, Georgia, in Techwood. If you know anything about projects, that was the worst project outside in Atlanta, Georgia, in the city. There was a demon-possessed person that I encountered. Because a young Christian, they came to me and said, "How are you with demons?" And I said, "Well, I've dealt with them before." And I've told this story before, but maybe some of you haven't heard it. You see this pulpit here? There was a building with an iron fence around it. I walk up to the devil and I point my finger and I looked at this person and I said, "The devil's a liar." And he said, "Oh yeah? I'm coming out there." He went through the iron gate, walked down the sidewalk, and met me. He tried to kick me. His foot was stopped in midair. And I began to take my authority in Jesus' name. And there was an exchange for a couple minutes, and I kept quoting scriptures about authority. And finally, I looked at him, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, you need to go." And no lie, he went like this. He walked, he went back into the iron gate, and he sat down in like this Indian position. But it was like he was prevented from doing anything else. Because I know my authority, and I knew who I was in Christ. When you know your authority and you know who you are in Christ, the devil can't hurt you. But there was a verbal exchange. Because my hope was that the devil could not harm me. Let me try to read the scripture in Philippians now. Lord, and if there's anything else you want to say, I'll say it, but I'm trying to get this done here. That in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Whether it be by life or death. When you're holding on to hope, you have no fear whatsoever of death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But, verse 22, if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I know not. You know, Paul, he said, it's far better for me if I go, but some of you need help, and it's probably better for you if I stay, but for me it's better if I go. So, don't give up your hope. Hebrews 10:35 says, don't cast away your confidence because it has great recompense of reward. Don't let the devil intimidate you because you have authority over him. Amen? Don't lose hope. Keep that joyful expectation. Be bold. Wait patiently. Wait eagerly. Get your body in line. These are all attitudes of hope. Amen? So stand up. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus, as of this moment, I decide to hold on to hope and to not let it go for anything. I will hold on to hope. I will be bold. I will wait patiently. I will rest in the Lord. I will trust in God. I will rely on God's strength. I will stand my ground. I will not be intimidated. I will not be afraid. And I will not be pressured to go against God. I'm going on with God. I'm inheriting His promises. And I'm going to take my possessions in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. We need a couple of bold people. You're already designed to do great exploits. And every one of us have a destiny to do great exploits. All those who name the name of the Lord their God shall do great exploits. And God can work through you right where you are. Amen? Just letting God be big in you. Just decide. If you're working in a place, decide, I'm going to let God be big in me. You know, the apostles had great results in prisons. You know, Stephen had great results waiting tables. Peter had great results when he fished, according to the word of the Lord. Philip had great results in Samaria. Philip, yeah. Thomas ended up going to India. So, Father, I just pray in the name of Jesus that they get a revelation of hope, and that they develop an attitude that doesn't quit but endures, perseveres, holds on, refuses to quit or turn to the right or turn to the left, refuses to give up, but they press on toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Father, I pray that a new and fresh anointing would come on these people tonight, Father, because they are hungry, Lord, and feed them with hope Lord, feed them with something that doesn't fail in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I give you thanks and praise that they will see the realities of their hopes, of what they hope in will come to pass. In Jesus' name, amen. There will be more to come next week.